Acts chapter 9. Now, in my Bible, as in a lot of Bibles, I'd probably say a majority of Bibles, there are headers, you know, before like each different section kind of telling you what it's about. And every Bible I have ever had or even looked at always starts chapter 9 off with the conversion of Saul, or Saul converted on the road to Damascus. And this simply is not true. I haven't seen a single Bible get that right yet. I've marked it out because mine says the conversion of Saul, and I have marked that out and put Saul on the road to Damascus. He was not converted on the road to Damascus, and we'll see why. And Saul, still breathing out threats and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. So here Saul is continuing to kill and imprison Christians because he thought he was doing the right thing. Went to the high priest and desired letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus, that if he found anyone of this way, basically if he found any Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He wanted authority from the high priest to take Christians from Damascus and arrest them, bind them, and bring them to Jerusalem, probably for execution. And as they journeyed, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone all around him. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" I'm sure this must have been really something to see. I mean, you're walking down the road, you're going to Damascus, you've got a mission, you think that you're on a mission for God, you're going there to get those Christians and get them imprisoned and executed because that's the right thing to do, because I think that's the right thing to do. And he's going, and suddenly there's just a blinding light from heaven and a voice from the light saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the barbs." I think that phrase simply means, I picture someone kicking against a barbed wire fence or something, kicking a barbed wire fence or kicking a bramble bush or something. It's going to hurt because you shouldn't be doing that. It's hard to fight against something that you should not be fighting against. And trembling and astonished, he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" So I'm sure Saul at this point is really confused because he's thinking, wait a minute, I'm on a mission for God. And now this Jesus, who I did not believe in, is speaking to me from this blinding light from the skies, telling me that I'm persecuting him, and obviously this is a supernatural act, and I'm scared to death. I don't understand. And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you shall be told what you must do." You notice that Jesus didn't tell him right there, okay, well, Saul, in order to become a Christian, you need to hear the word of God, and then you need to believe it, and then you need to repent of your sins and make a confession with your mouth like Philip just did, and then you need to be fully immersed in baptism to have your sins washed away. No, he sent him into the city, and it would be told him by another person what to do to be saved. Why? Because that's our job. As Christians, that's our job. It's our job to spread the word of God and to teach others the gospel of Christ and the plan of salvation. And the man who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. Now, we'll see in Paul's Saul, who later becomes Paul, his explanation of it makes it more clear that, yeah, they heard the voice, but they didn't understand what the voice was saying. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. So he was blind. He was blinded by this light. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. I think he fasted for 3 days because he was probably very upset. Paul, or Saul here, is a very, very zealous man. I think that's why God chose him. Extremely zealous man. He really believed that his mission to destroy Christians was the right thing to do because he believed that Jesus was a fraud and those that followed him must be stopped. To find out that he was wrong and that he had actually been working against God and that Jesus really is the Son of God was probably extremely upsetting to him. I think that's probably why he fasted for 3 days. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. So you have a Christian man named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, "Behold, here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street that is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight." So God went to Ananias in a vision and said, "Go find this Saul of Tarsus." At the same time, Saul of Tarsus is having a vision about you, Ananias, coming to him, putting your hands on him so that he can receive his sight, heal his blindness. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. This guy is a Christian killer. God, are you sure you want me to do this? This guy is a Christian killer. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." He has the authority from the high priest to imprison and drag back to Jerusalem anyone who is a Christian, probably to be executed. So let me just, God, are you sure? But the Lord said to him, "Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel for me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." So God chose him. God chose him for this mission. And I think part of the reason he chose Saul is because Saul was so zealous. He chose him to preach to the Gentiles and to the Jews, but mostly to the Gentiles. "For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." And I have a reference when he says, "For he is a chosen vessel." If you go to 2 Corinthians 4:7, Paul says, "But we have this treasure, this gospel of Christ, the word of God, in earthen vessels." People. It is people's jobs to teach and spread the word of God. Not some, you know, Holy Spirit zapping of people. That's not how it works. "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him," so he went and found Saul. He said, "Brother Saul," not "Brother Saul" is in Christian Saul, because Saul had not done anything yet to become a Christian. The only thing he had done is was struck blind and was led by his traveling companions into the city. He had prayed and fasted. Let's see. "And for 3 days he was without sight, neither ate or drank." So he fasted. And then he was praying. But that didn't make him a Christian. So he went to Saul and just said, "Brother Saul," not because he was a Christian, but probably because he was a fellow Jew. "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." So Paul was also going to receive power from the Holy Spirit, just like the other apostles in Acts 2. And then we know from Acts 22:16, from this story being recounted, that Ananias told him to be baptized. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he received sight immediately and arose and was baptized. That is when he became a Christian, when he was baptized. That's when he received forgiveness of sins. You can see that in Acts 22:16. Like I said, this is another account of this story where Ananias says, "And now why do you remain? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." This is Paul recounting this story. So he was baptized, so he became a Christian. And when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then for some days, Saul was with the disciples who were at Damascus. And immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now wait a minute. Just a few days before, Saul was absolutely convinced that Jesus was a fraud, that Christians were following a false leader, and that they needed to be stopped. Now you have him preaching that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, because he had received power from the Holy Spirit. So he received knowledge from the Holy Spirit as an apostle. Not as us today, but as an apostle, he received knowledge from the Holy Spirit. Today, we have to study God's Word. We don't just get it from the Holy Spirit. We have to study. But all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on this name and has come here for that intent, that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? Isn't this Saul from Tarsus, the guy who's going around dragging Christians to Jerusalem bound? Now he's preaching that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" What? I mean, that would be hard to swallow, wouldn't it? That would be really hard to swallow. But Saul increased in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt at Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ. And I think he was proving it with miracles. Doesn't say that, but that's what I think. "And after many days were fulfilled," and we know from Galatians 1:18 that that's 3 years. "After 3 years, the Jews took counsel to kill him." Okay, this Saul of Tarsus has completely flipped on us, is now preaching that Jesus is the Son of God. We're going to have to kill him. "But their plotting became known by Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples, or the Christians there in Jerusalem, took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket." I say Jerusalem. No, sorry, he was still at Damascus when this happened. "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem," so he went from Damascus to Jerusalem, "he tried to join himself to the disciples." So he went to the church in Jerusalem and wanted to become a member of that congregation. "But they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple." This guy's not really a Christian. I know who this guy is. "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus." So thankfully Barnabas was there to be a character witness for Saul. "And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Greeks, but they went about to slay him, which when the brothers learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus." So He went from Damascus. He had to leave Damascus because the Jews wanted to kill him. So he went to Jerusalem and he worked with the church there for a while. But then the Grecian Jews wanted to kill him. So then they had to send him to Caesarea and then on to Tarsus, which is where he was from. Then the churches throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had rest and were edified. So things kind of quieted down for a while. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So things kind of calmed down a bit and the church continued to grow. I find it interesting in that verse 31, it says the Christians were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Both of those things, I think, are involved in Christianity. There is fear and there is comfort. Fear, as in we should reverence God. We should have utmost respect for God. But there's also comfort. If you are living a life in obedience to God, there will be that comfort. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all the regions, he also came down to the saints who dwell at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed." And he arose immediately, and all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. So Peter, one of the apostles, is continuing to do his job, spreading the word of God, proving what he's saying by miracles, and converting people to Christianity. Now at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, who by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds that she did. And it came to pass in those days that she became sick and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper chamber. And since Lydda was near to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, desiring that he would not delay in coming to them. Now, wait a minute. These are Christians. Why couldn't they have just raised Tabitha themselves from the dead? Why did they have to call for Peter? Because they did not have power from the Holy Spirit. Not all Christians had miraculous abilities. It's whoever the Lord shall call. From Acts chapter 2. That's not all Christians. Not all Christians had miraculous abilities. So they called for Peter. "Peter, can you come? Because we have a dearly loved Christian lady who has just died. And we heard that you were near. Can you come and help?" Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them, a very, very loved woman. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. You notice that he called Christians saints. You know, you've got the Catholic Church who use that word saint as if it's something very elevated, like that only applies to certain Christians and they have to have been dead for so long and have had to perform so many miracles in their lives and then they are called saints. Well, that's just all a bunch of baloney. All Christians are considered saints. All real Christians are considered saints. You know, another thing, we never, every time someone is raised from the dead, we never get to hear their side of the story. You know, did they remember? Did they remember being dead? Did they remember going to Hades? I mean, do they remember anything? I don't know. Are they mad that they had to come back to this earth instead of getting to be in paradise? I don't know. We don't get to hear any of that. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he remained in Joppa many days with Simon a tanner. So, basically the church is continuing to grow, and Saul has now become the Apostle Paul. And that is chapter 9.